This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
We always need to hear this, guys. We are very distracted as a culture. We are very pulled and thinned out in all other kinds of ways that keep us from being centered on the main mission for us as Christians. The main mission for us as Christians on planet Earth is the Great Commission that Jesus gave us before he ascended to the Father. We are to always be a going people.
There are times when you may find it difficult to concentrate on the tasks that have been delegated to you. You might find yourself procrastinating or getting sidetracked by your phone, only to suddenly notice that time is slipping away. Have you ever noticed how distractions sent by the enemy can pull you away from what really matters, like following God's purpose? In today's message, Pastor Bo encourages you to dodge those distractions and pour your heart and energy into serving God. Now here's Pastor Bo as he begins his message, Word-Driven Disciple Makers.
Please turn to the book of Acts, and please turn to chapter 18 in the book of Acts, and start making your way down to verse 23 of Acts 18, verse 23. There are churches all over our country today and all around the world, really, who are committed to making disciples. They would say that. They would even say it that way. But if you were to go around and go to church, maybe denomination to denomination, we might even say the way that they do that would vary. It would be different. And now there's a little bit of an issue there. And why would I say that? It's because of how Jesus told us to make disciples. He said, teach people all that I have given you in Matthew 28, all that the Lord has taught us and passed along to us by way of the Word of God, the Scriptures, is to be how, that's what we use as our playbook, if you will, for making disciples, is we use the Word of God. So the issue today, and it has always been this way, but man, if we just think about it, at least in my mind, it seems like that is somewhat of a challenge to find now. Churches, ministries, Christians who actually believe in what I'm going to use as a title for my sermon today, Word-Driven Discipleship. All right, did you hear that? I don't know how excited you are when I say that. You're like, oh, I thought we were going to talk about something else, but you really need to see this from the book of Acts. What it looked like then, and therefore still is the example we're to follow for making disciples in our lifetime. Now, there'll be a personal component to it. You'll see it as we go along, but let's read the text, okay? So Matthew 18, beginning in verse 23, we're going to move all the way through chapter 19, verse 10. So let us slowly but medium pace move through this passage together, okay? Chapter 18, verse 23. After spending some time there, he, that is Paul, departed, and he went from one place to the next throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia. He is leaving Antioch in northern Syria, and he's going out strengthening all the disciples. Verse 24, now, at the same time, while Paul launches out on his third missionary journey, a Jew, notice verse 24, named Apollos, he's a native of Alexandria, that's in northern Africa, Egypt, actually. He came to Ephesus, that's in Asia there. Okay, he was an eloquent man. He was competent in the scriptures. Notice how Luke is describing him. Verse 25, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord previously and being fervent in spirit. I like that. Do you like that? I like that. He's a very passionate guy. He spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. Though, don't miss this, he knew only the baptism of John. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, kind of like Paul. But when Priscilla and Aquila, do you remember them? when they heard him, they're left in Ephesus, if you remember from our previous study, they took Apollos aside. Wow, what would that have looked like? And they explained to Apollos the way of God more accurately. How would that have gone down? Verse 27, and when he wished to cross to Achaia, that is Apollos, he was very excited about his ministry there in Ephesus, and he's wanting to then head west and go over to Corinth. So he's wanting to cross to Achaia. The brothers there in Ephesus encouraged him to do so, so much so that they actually wrote a letter of accommodation to the disciples in Corinth to welcome him. And when he arrived, so he went to Corinth, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures, do you see that? That the Christ was Jesus, that the Messiah was Jesus of Nazareth. And it happened, chapter 19, now verse 1, that while Apollos was at Corinth over there, Paul is passing through the inland country in Asia, and he comes to Ephesus. And it is there, as he's coming into Ephesus, arriving at Ephesus, he found, what does it say? Some disciples. And he said to them, he must have picked up on something lacking that prompted this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus. Verse 5 of chapter 19, the book of Acts says, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue, and for, notice the time, 3 months, he spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them in the synagogue about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn, so he's going 3 months without any opposition, but you guys know Paul's ministry. At some point, some become stubborn, hearing the truth over and over again about Jesus Christ. Some are becoming soft and pliable and changing and being saved and growing in their discipleship. And some who are growing in a stubborn and rebellious hard heart are getting more and more like that at the same time. So they become stubborn and continued in unbelief, going as far as to, you see it there, speaking evil of the way. And the way was the title of the Christians during that time. So they're speaking evil of the way of Christians before the congregation. So notice what Paul does. He withdrew from them, and he took the disciples with him. Reasoning, where did he go? Reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. This continued for 2 years. So now he's going to be in that kind of ministry arrangement there for 2 years. And notice, I love this statement at the end of this verse 10 here. So that all the residents of Asia, did you guys see that? So that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. That's incredible. So for 2 years, he just stays at it. And all of this area hears the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. All right, here's the main idea. You ready? Here's the main idea. Are you ready? Okay, here's the main idea of what we're talking about from those verses. Acts 18, verse 23, all the way through chapter 19, verse 10, reinforces the importance of word-driven disciple-making. And this section you just read, it gives illustrations of what it looks like to teach disciples and receive gospel-centered instruction. Do we get that together? I tried to make that as, you guys with me? All right. You got your heart open to the word? Good, because this is, you'll see this, and it'll be personal to you, and it'll have an effect as we go through this. Now, our Savior, Jesus, he gave us this great commission. And I know most of you know it well. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20 says that Jesus came and said to them, to the disciples, this is after his resurrection from the dead, and just before he is going to ascend into heaven to be with the Father, before he would eventually come back again. It's right in his last few days on the earth. He says this to them, all authority. Is that a limited authority? No, it's all, right? This is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the sovereign. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So you, what? Go. All authority has been given to me. You go, therefore, and I love those next two words, make disciples. Because that insinuates a bit of a process. You ever make something? Right? My daughter last night, she made some really good cookies. Right? They didn't just like sort of just, I don't know, pop out of the box that way or something. It was a process that she had to go through to make such good cookies, by the way. Some of the best cookies. They are so good. I have to give you the recipe. Anyway, that's a side note while I'm getting off. They were that good. But just notice that he said to make disciples of all nations. So it just insinuating that there's going to be a process there. But then he gives us some steps of what it looks like. An outline, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then notice he says, teaching them, that is these disciples, these new believers, these converts, we might say, to observe, pay attention to. Observe means like you would an investigation, like a mechanic would look at an engine, you would observe. You would look at all that I have commanded you. Observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, Jesus says to all of us who are going to go out and make disciples and carry out the Great Commission, I am with you. I am with you always in this to the end of the age. We always need to hear this, guys. We are very distracted as a culture. We are very pulled and thinned out in all other kinds of ways that keep us from being centered on the main mission for us as Christians. The main mission for us as Christians on planet Earth is the Great Commission that Jesus gave us before he ascended to the Father. We are to always be a going people. Always a teaching people, always a baptizing people, always an observing people of what Jesus previously commanded and sharing that with someone else who needs to grow in their faith and grow in grace. This is what we're to be doing all the time. This is why our church exists. So our church is not a social club. Our church is not filled with a really cool calendar filled with awesome events for you and your kids. Although we do some of those things, but all of those things are bent toward the mission of the church. All of those things aren't just for random reasons or for fun per se, although we think they ought to be fun if we're going to do them, right? They're for the advancement of the kingdom. So that's why we're very selective on the things that we do, when we do them, how we do them, all that sort of thing, because it needs to be in harmony with the mission of Jesus Christ that he's given the church to carry out. So the book of Acts is filled. It's filled with examples of God's people fulfilling this holy mandate. Understand that. This section of Acts that we're in right now really reinforces the importance of word-driven disciple-making, and it just is, I think it's awesome how it just gives us so many illustrations of what that looks like. So we're going to be introduced, as I already read it to you, but now we're going to go through it. We're going to be introduced to a variety of groups, about four of them, four sets of teacher-student. You're going to see teacher-student, teacher-student, teacher-student four times as we go through this. And as we observe these examples, I'm going to ask you, for us as a church, as Trinity Church of Melbourne, we, I believe, should examine our own disciple-making practices. Did everybody hear that? So we're not just here for ourselves. We are actually a part of a much greater mission, a much bigger picture, And we are part of what God is doing on planet Earth in reaching lost people and drawing them to himself. So we're part of a mission that is just, you talk about, you know, a lot of us, a lot of you guys and myself, we've had times in our lives where we wanted to graduate from a certain college with a certain degree so that we could work at this certain company, so we could be a part of the vision of some new idea or something. Then that pales in comparison to what we're talking about here. We're talking about reaching down and pulling people out of the grips of hell, out of the grips of Satan's hold that he has on this world. What we do as a church is impacts all of eternity. So there's nothing more significant and purposeful that you could give yourself to than the very simple and mightily profound mission of making disciples. Just one person at a time. Just being willing to get in the word with another person and help them understand what Jesus has said and help them respond to that, obey that, take the next step in line with what the word of God is and watch them grow and how that leverages prayer and the Holy Spirit and all other kinds of things that we have as resources to accomplish the Great Commission. All right, here's the first set of teacher-student, all right? It's Paul. That's number one. You can write it down, Paul. Following up is what he does. So that's, you're going to see that's his practice. And that's what I'm going to bring out some of those verbs there to help us see, well, what should our practices be? Where's the action here from the book of Acts that we can follow or model? And what we see Paul doing is we see him following up with people, believers, new believers from his previous missionary journeys. So I just want you to see that. Follow up. He's going to do it with new churches, churches that he established on that second missionary journey. He's now launching out on his third missionary journey. And where does he go? New territory? No, he doesn't go to new territory. He goes to where he had previously been to strengthen them, to reinforce the word of God that he was able to share with them the first go around. So in verse 23, Paul's third missionary journey begins. When you see verse 23 there, that's what's happening. So after stopping in Antioch in verse 22, undoubtedly he would have given a report there of how his second missionary journey had gone. He now is going to retrace his steps from his previous missionary work. I was going to ask you, have you ever had to retrace your steps? Have you ever had to do that? Just retrace your steps? Perhaps you've misplaced your car keys or your cell phone and you're like, where is that thing? Paul didn't lose anything, per se. He had actually shared the gospel so well with these folks earlier on that first missionary trip that they were the ones who had actually found Jesus. Jesus actually had found them, we could say it that way as well. And that is why Paul now is retracing his steps, because he's got folks out there. Well, let me say it to us like this. His route most likely included visits to the places we've previously studied, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Pisidian Antioch. Those were all the places where he established, where there was a nucleus of new believers and churches in their infant stages. Now, Paul's burden, what's on him and driving him and kind of compelling him here, is much like what he expressed previously in chapter 15, verse 35. If you want to glance at it really quick, chapter 15, verse 35 says that, but Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, and it says, with many others also. At the beginning of his second journey was like that. He had this desire to follow up with new believers, churches, young disciples. I think it's good to start thinking through, even in your mind right now, do I know anyone like that? Do I know any new believers? That's a great question. Have I shared my faith with anyone is a great question too. Have I led anyone to the Lord lately is a great question too. It's not a condemning thing. It's just to sort of provoke a healthy examination and then prompt right action in response to what we're supposed to be doing. So understand, it's from a place of teaching and willingness to grow and fulfill what Jesus has given us to do as Christians. And guys, like, check this out. I always think about this. The scales are in heaven. Like, we're going to meet Jesus one day. Did everybody hear me on that? You and I are. We're going to meet Jesus one day. You are going to see him. And none of the reasons that we use for why we don't make disciples aren't going to hold any water when we're standing there. I mean, it just won't. So I just want to encourage you to, if this isn't incorporated into your Christian experience, that you start to realize, okay, I'm to be a Christian, a disciple, who's also making disciples. Everybody hear that? Okay, all right. So he desired, Paul did, to go to Ephesus, launching out on this third trip. But he first chose, he's like trying to get to Ephesus, but he chooses to first revisit, and I'm going to use some words because they're very important, his spiritual children. He wants to revisit first his spiritual children from his previous missionary work. He agonized over the spiritual maturity of new believers. I am really challenged by that because I am somewhat bothered, and I mean that in a good way, I mean that in a kingdom way, by the lack of that I see amongst so many of Christians today. I mean, we agonize over our houses. We agonize over our weight. We agonize over how old or new our cars are. Do you know what I mean? Paul doesn't have any of that. And what does he agonize over? What does he have a burden about? It's for the spiritual condition of people that he's previously ministered to. I mean, he is concerned about their spiritual growth. And man, mark it down. That's a whammo for every minister, whammo for every church, every gospel, anybody, everywhere around the world. We are not to be concerned about numbers, converts, that kind of tracking of metrics and all this kind of, we are to be concerned about the person, the soul, the spiritual condition of the person and where they're at in their relationship to God and their growth in Jesus Christ by the Spirit, by the Word in their life, helping them become all that God has for them to be according to Scripture. They need a disciple. I need to disciple them. You need to be discipled. So is there someone who's discipling you? And you need to be making a disciple according to Scripture, according to the New Testament, according to the Bible. Is this a church? Right, are we Christians? You're like, Bo, why do you talk like this? Because this is where we've gotten today. We've got to really clarify all these things. That is what we're all about. So that's what our focus is. But I'm wanting us to just see some here. Galatians 4:19 is where we see Paul's heart. He says, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until, look at this, Christ is formed in you. That is the burden. That is the sort of the agony that Paul has on the inside of him. How great is it? It's like that. Now, we've got to also understand something. What we see exemplified in Paul the Apostle as an apostle and back then, Book of Acts and all that, we need to understand now that same, what we have in his words and we have in his example, we now have by the influence of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the Word in us, alive in the church now.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. We're so glad you've been with us. Perhaps some of the ideas you've heard today are a new concept. On the other hand, you might be well familiar with some of the thoughts shared. Whatever the case may be, we trust and believe that there are always new things to learn from what God wants to teach us. Pastor Bo will be back with more in our next edition. But before we go for today, we'd like to share a little more about who we are. Truth That Transforms comes to you from Trinity Church of Melbourne, located in Melbourne, Florida. To learn more about what we believe and to join us in person, here's our website, trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. We offer services on Sundays at 10 a.m. We also offer a midweek service for the youth on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Come with a heart to grow, being open to how the Lord is leading, and there will be much to gain. Again, our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. If you'd like to send us an email for any reason, our email is info@mytrinitychurch.life. For a personal touch, you can also call us at 321-676-8992. One more time, that number is 321-676-8992. We're so glad you took the time to connect today. Pastor Bo will return next time as he continues to impart some important messages from God and His Word here on Truth That Transforms.
Snow-covered rooftops, lights on the trees, the sound of singing I hear down every street. Families have gathered from miles away. Oh, Merry Christmas, it's Christmas Day. Christmas Day.